Suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. I speak to you this day in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen." Please be seated. I don't know about you, but sometimes I remember things from my childhood and I ask myself, why am I allowing this to take up space in my head? For instance, I remember a lot of television commercials from when I was a kid. I remember those little history minutes put out by the government and the commercial about that most lovable animal, the house hippo. Does anybody remember that one? Yeah, Pippa knows the house hippo. There you go. And the house hippo. And another one that I always remember, I don't even know what it is about, but it is about kids doing different activities, playing the tuba, doing sports, and there's even a magician named Aiden who cuts his sister in half. And the punchline of that commercial is, "Everybody's got a thing, what's yours?" Does anybody remember that? Pippa, you remember that one as well. Pippa, you always know my TV references when I make them, so there we are. But the punchline of that commercial is nonetheless, "Everybody's got a thing, what's yours?" On this day, the church around the world marks the baptism of our Lord. And during this day, it is a good time to recall our own baptisms and our own gifts that God has given each one of us to use in the church. And today we ask the question, everybody's got a gift. What's yours? Today in the church, as I say, we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, that feast where we mark our Lord's baptism by John in the River Jordan. And in many ways, this is the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. This feast in many ways also caps off the Christmas season. We have heard and seen in Scripture the birth of our Lord, how the wise men come to visit him and they bring him gifts, and how the Holy Family is forced to flee to Egypt as King Herod kills all the infant boys in the region. Jesus, we know from tradition, spends much of his early life in Egypt and eventually returns to Nazareth after the death of King Herod. The pages of the Bible are largely silent about Jesus' life after his birth, except for a few incidences. But today we celebrate the baptism of Jesus, where he remakes an appearance and begins his public ministry of teaching, healing, and preaching, and bringing the kingdom of God to those in the towns and villages of Galilee. We are entering the season of Epiphany, which looks at Jesus' earthly life and ministry, and how he grows along the way. And we are to grow along the way each week as we learn from Jesus. We are to grow to be more like him. The season ends or is interrupted by Lent and Easter, where we mark the last days, death, and resurrection of our Lord. But following Easter, we pick up growth right away again in the season of Trinitytide, where we too pray that we become more and more like Jesus as we learn from him in his ministry. And this all starts with his baptism by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. The church lectionary appoints a number of interesting readings for this day as we mark his baptism. Of course, we have that story from Matthew of our Lord being baptized by John. God speaks and confirms that Jesus is indeed his son, is indeed God himself. But right before this, in the Gospel of Matthew, we are told that John the Baptist, a man who is a great prophet, is at the River Jordan, and that countless people are coming to be baptized by him, and he is giving a baptism for repentance and forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the sinless one, we say, so why does he have to be baptized? As a priest, that is the second most common question I'm asked. I'm asked, why do bad things happen in the world? And then somehow people get right into the Bible and they say, and why did Jesus need to be baptized? I get that question a lot. So why did Jesus need to be baptized if he is the sinless one? Well, Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Our God, Jesus, is living the human experience with us. And that is exactly why he needs to be baptized. Let me put it another way. Stanley Hauerwas, a famous theologian, puts it like this. He says, Jesus must be baptized. Jesus must be baptized because he is the very, very embodiment of the law. And since he is that, he submits to the law so that we might see justice done. This gives us a foretaste of Jesus, who is life itself, submitting to death so that death may be conquered once for all. Jesus is baptized simply because we are all baptized. Jesus is living the experience, the perfect human life Jesus is living the life we are to live, and therefore he must be baptized. Furthermore, John the Baptist is in the wilderness proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven has come near. And in Jesus' baptism, it has not just come near, it is publicly fulfilled. We then move on to our New Testament reading from Acts. Peter is preaching the gospel to those who have not heard about Jesus in it. Peter is testifying about Jesus, and he is preaching about all the prophets and how they testified about Jesus. We too here today, all the baptized Christians, are called to testify about this Jesus, who he is and what he came to do, just as Peter did. Peter says in Scripture, he commands us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. We too, as Christians, have to preach this gospel to all we encounter. We then have a reading from the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah. It is a beautiful prophecy about our Lord, full of poetry, who he is and what he has come to do and be for this world. We too should try to become more and more like this over time, as we live into our own baptismal calls. For remember, everybody has a gift, and our job as followers of Jesus is to discern what ours is and then use it for his upbuilding of his body here on earth. In just 2 weeks, our parish will be having our annual vestry meeting, where we will look back at the church and its ministry over this past year, but we will also look forward to a new year, where we corporately as a church and as individual followers of Jesus are able to begin our ministry afresh. Just like our Lord's baptism was the beginning of his earthly ministry, we are afforded an opportunity each year to hit the reset button and to look at what God is calling us to do and to be in the year ahead. I would encourage you all to take some time in the next few weeks and ask God what he is calling you to do for him and for his church. We have all been given gifts, varied and beautiful as they might be by God, to be used by his church. And now is the perfect time of year to put them into action. So do take some time of prayer and listen to God. What is he calling us all to do? Jesus was baptized, and then he went out to the towns and villages to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, stand up against evil, and spread the faith, and invite people into an intimate relationship with himself, with God himself. We too, as Christians today, 2,000 years later, are still called to this exact same work and ministry to the towns and villages and cities of this world. It might look a little different. It might be our workplace, somewhere we volunteer, some organization we are a part of, but we are called to go to those places and heal the sick, stand up against evil, and invite people into an intimate relationship with God himself. So take time and ask God how he is asking you to do this in the coming year, because we all have something to give to God and the church. And as you're about this work, I pray that God would make it clear what he is asking of you. Jesus changed lives in those towns and villages one person at a time. And that is how our work goes as well. We change people one person at a time. We baptize people one person at a time. And we commit to God one person at a time. But then we come together corporately to do his work, to be his hands and feet here in this world. So pray for guidance, listen to God, pray for the church, pray for one another, and together let us do the work of Christ for another year, going out into our neighborhoods, our cities and villages, workplaces, anywhere we may go, to heal the sick, speak the truth, and spread the faith. Amen.